Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. We're here every weekday, and many of you are also. We love that. Also, many of you have, you've called 1-800-229-3000, and I'm not hearing people saying it's destroyed my life forever. In fact, I hear the reverse. If you call, we'll give you the best help possible, 1-800-229-3000. And helping me help, Dr. Alice Benton is here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And the world's champion
in
boogie dancing, Milan Jurkovic. Milan, welcome. Good to see you.
Hey, how are you? I have such poor rhythm. But I have fun trying. So it's good.
You've
to see
gotten
you.
A lot of people to dance on a lot of our different.
Yeah, we have.
That's true, right there.
Yep. You said it's good to see me. Well,
it is.
We haven't seen each other since October when we did Intimacy in Marriage.
Yeah.
And once again, an impossible couple that impossibly came had impossible results. And I think it's going to stick. They're on a different path altogether, which is what happens when two people are willing to surrender all of the stuff and listen to and follow a different path from a different way of thinking. What is that path, Milan, that kind of people fall into once they come?
We teach people to overcome their training that they don't know they've been trained to do, but they have been. And we teach them to overcome their training and learn something new, where they learn to slow down and listen to one another and to realize that each person has history that is often reacting and colliding with their spouse's history. But if we slow down and learn to listen, which takes discipline and a willingness to do it, and realize God tells us to do that, and we give people a series of questions to ask that take them through a process of exploration. And at the end of that, those 12 questions, often couples have tears in their eyes, they have compassion, they have empathy, not only for the other person, but also for themselves. They realize that I'm very much reacting the way I have in many cases my whole life. So a lot of new skills and a lot of new orientation. So it's a joy to watch people change.
Well, a lot of people have been trained or trained themselves that control is everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to control this. I'm in control. As long as I'm in control and control of the relationship, things are going to be just fine,
right?
Like they are. And maybe you think control and stagnation is the goal, but it's not. And you can fall into one of the categories, such as the magnificently miserable married Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, well, we're never going to divorce. Well, okay, that's really good. That's what we're going for, too. But why be miserable in the meantime? So all of these different things, we help you to see that based on the research you've done with your entire life, it has not produced the result you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And we will help you do that. If you want to join us, it's Intimacy and Marriage. It's in February. It's a great time to sign up now because it'll never be cheaper. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And we'll be back right after this at that phone number, which is not the number to call about the workshop, which is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you need help right here now, 1-800-229-3000. If you call it by mistake, they'll transfer you over to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But Mylan and Dr. Alice Benton and me, we want to help you. Please let us help you. Call us right now, and we'll be back after a very, very short 60-second message.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thank you, Terry Mack, and thank all of you that listen and support us. Our phone number, one more time, 1-800-229-3000.
Steve, what is that on your desk?
Yeah, something different.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you asked that. I told him to ask it. Okay, so...
No. He asked. He told us to ask it three times. Is what he did.
Because you weren't doing it.
Okay. Well, so
he asked me to answer another question the first time. You know,
if you were watching on the New Life Live YouTube channel, you would see this. But Misty and I were invited to go to Tyndale House Publishers, and we had dinner with all the people, and then we gave the devotional. Misty did an incredible job. I have to tell you about one of these devotions. I don't think anybody has ever thought this. I've never seen it written before. I'll tell you about it a bit. But I was presented with this little award, 4 million Life Recovery Bibles.
Wow.
4 million.
Ooh.
And what Ron Beers, who's one of the greatest human beings in the entire universe, said, with Bob and Gary Rosberg came just to be part of our devotional. They just showed up there, which is just... Who has friends like that? We do. And it just was wonderful. But Ron honored them and me. But he said this, for a Bible to have been issued 30 years ago and sells over 60,000 copies every year is just kind of something that rarely ever happens. And I'm so grateful that so many people have found this Bible. Prison Fellowship gives it away. Salvation Army, they're the largest purchasers of this. So many people have found this and come to Christ. I've told you about the guy that was homeless, found a book on the curb. It wasn't just a book. It was Life Recovery Bible.
Oh.
And Bible and recovery were never associated with him.
Right.
It was anybody that had anything to do with the Bible... They shamed him. They told him, try harder. You ought to get over this. So he starts to read, and he reads. Falls asleep reading, and awakens to a police officer tapping him on the foot to move on. He already had been moving on. Before he went to bed, he was working through those steps, the devotionals for step one. And then we hear that everything has been restored in his life.
Wow.
Faith,
wow.
Family, job, he
wow.
is not homeless.
Wow.
Now, when you hear that, you see, it isn't that the truth sets you free. The scripture says, when you follow my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth. Truth will set you free. See, he didn't just read stuff. He started to follow it.
Right. I love that you made that distinction, Steve. It's a really important one because we have to do something with what we read.
And Steve, your Bible commentary, it brings Jesus to light in a different way. I'd only read antiquated versions of Scripture, King James versions of Scripture. I didn't understand most of it, and it was very difficult to stick with it.
Yeah.
So to find a Bible with commentary that makes it applicable to our lives, that changes how the Word affects us.
Right. Well, Dave and I did many of the devotionals that are there, but here's the thing about the commentary. They were all of the commentary, the notes about the scripture to help you understand it, were done by Bible scholars from seminaries and Christian universities that were all in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We found recovering scholars. That's what makes it so unique. Now, the reason I'm talking about this also, not just my fancy, cute little award, but what a present it would be to give somebody in recovery a Bible, Life Recovery Bible, that integrates the steps. It brings the Bible back into recovery rather than trying to cram recovery into the Bible. No, that's where it started. And then also, every man's Bible is the best-selling study Bible. And then don't forget, and that's why we were at Tyndale, one-year Bible for men, one-year Bible for women. Misty did a devotional on Lisa Turkhurst's blog. The last I saw, it was about 4 days ago, she had 163 comments on her devotional.
That's
big,
great.
Huge other authors that have blocked. I saw they were like at 22. So those Bibles are amazing. Hers is more amazing. But let's go to our phone calls here, and I want to talk to Patty, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Patty. How are you today?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. I'm here with two people that I admire, love, and they are able to tolerate me. So that's that's just a three-way win right there.
That's
how
important.
Could we help you today?
That is important,
yeah,
Patty.
It is. It sure is. Thanks for bringing that up. All right. How can we help?
I have a question that I'm not quite sure how to deal with.
Okay.
If a pastor says he does not believe Jesus died for our sins, how does one respond to that?
Okay. I'm really glad you called with this. Now, let me ask you, what type of church denomination do you go to?
I'd rather not say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's one of the large denominations.
Okay.
It's not Catholic. Catholic.
Okay. So this Presbyterian, I'm just kidding. So this pastor, what was the context in which he revealed this to people?
Well, I thought I had heard him say it, and I kind of let things lie. This was around last Christmas, and
yeah.
I waited until after the Christmas season, and I waited a few months and then had a private meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
and asked him, I said, I don't know whether I heard you properly or not, but I think that you said you don't believe Jesus died for our sins. And he said, I don't.
Hmm. What does he believe?
Well, he doesn't think that his God would have done that to his son. And I said, but you do understand that there's over 100 scriptures that are directing us in that direction. And he said, well, I'm not the only one. There is a Rob Bell. And I said, yes, he lost his entire church.
Yeah.
Let
me give you an answer here, what you should do. You did something that very few people actually do. You went to him for clarification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With curiosity.
And that's really important. Yep. And when you did that, he was really clear that he does not believe the Bible to be true. And he is actually not a Christian. So to go to that church and support that church being led by a non-Christian is, it's a lot of things. But it's really ridiculous that anybody would ever do anything if the church leadership, once knowing this, like the elders, deacons, whatever, if they didn't see a need for there to be a change, then you would want to give them the opportunity to make a change, to see this seriously. But then after that, you'd want to go to a different church, no matter what.
I'm no longer attending the church, and I do want to know one thing. I stopped receiving communion from him,
yeah.
And some people asked me why,
yeah.
And I said that I just did not feel comfortable.
Sure. And that's because you're a person who can say no to things and say yes to things. You're not under the control of anybody, and that's why you're making such great choices, verifying, clarifying. Now let me see what Mylon and Alice have to say about this, because I'm really happy that you did what you did, but I'm sad that this is part of what we're hearing about so many churches today.
Patty, as I was writing out recommendations to make, I then kept checking them off because you've done them all already. I'm so impressed by how you've handled this thus far. Is this pastor the main teaching pastor of the church?
Yes.
And is there a board of elders?
There is. They're the vestry. And a couple of them have seen him in very angry situations. One against me because he knows that I know more than he wants me to know. But they don't really do much.
Mm-hmm. And have you already brought your concerns to them in an official capacity out of concern for the church body?
Like a letter or something, an official capacity? You
right.
mean?
No, because I took my membership away, and I didn't want to be part of it. And two of the people who could have some authority have said it took 4 years to remove the last person. And they said all we have to do is make a call and we could start the process again. But they're so tired of having this kind of pastors that I don't think they want to take the effort.
And it doesn't sound like your pastor presented this as a doubt he has that he's struggling with, trying to realign himself with Scripture. He's not presenting it to the congregation in that sort of way. Is that correct?
Correct.
I would correct. Have you and prayerfully consider contacting the Board of Elders, because the reasons you're giving why not to, they're understandable reasons. But if God is prompting you to do more, this is still stirring in you, even though you left the church. That's why you're calling us today. So that stirring yeah. may be a divine prompting out of protection for the rest of the body. This mm-hmm. man has some character issues and some belief issues that if he's teaching on these, they're likely to lead the flock astray. And so even though the elders are tired, even though it took 2 years to do this before, even though you've already left, there still may be good enough reason to make an attempt on your part, even though you can't control the outcome, but just as a step in compliance with what God might be asking you to do out of protection for the rest of the flock.
Mm-hmm. Mylon, your thoughts?
Well, one Sunday prior to my absenting the premises, he was doing a sermon, and it was basically what was God doing, blah, 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 and then he offered for the congregation to answer. And I said, well, God sent his son to die for our sins. And suddenly everything got quiet. And then he asked another question, and I okay. pretty much said the same thing. And then yeah. he dropped his sermon notes.
Right. Well, okay, so we get it that he's not a believer.
So
I'll give you one. Well, here's what Mylon says here.
Well, Patty, I respect your commitment to the
yes.
Lord and
amen.
To the blood and body of Christ, which is what communion is. And I love that you're able to say, this man does not have the integrity, nor does he represent Jesus, that I should take communion, which is the representation of the blood and body of Christ on the cross to pay for our sins. I mean, how ironic that he would still serve communion.
Really?
Patty, something has happened in the last, especially the last 10 years. You mentioned Rob Bell. He mentioned Rob Bell, who was a Protestant pastor, and then Richard Rohr, who is a Catholic priest. They've been on the circuit really lecturing to people that there is no hell. And he has become evidently one of their aficionados or followers because he mentioned Rob Bell as a person who doesn't believe that. Now, if you take hell away and say there is no hell, then you don't need a savior now, do you? Okay, because God's going to save everybody. And that is the philosophy and the theology of Rob Bell and Richard Rohr. And so a Protestant pastor and a Catholic priest together lecturing on that. And it has become a convenient thing for people to believe and support because the idea of hell and a judgmental God is difficult for people to believe. As a matter of fact, the entire Jehovah Witness organization started with two people, Rutherford and Russell, denying that there's a hell, so they wrote the whole Bible and took hell out of it, and they rewrote the Bible to the New World Translation. So people don't like the word hell. It's a difficult thing to reconcile. So I just want to say you're doing the right thing, Patty. In the latter days, people are going to not be following the truth, and I love that you're a truth teller, and you're on my team,
yeah.
Patty.
You bet. Mine, too. I'm going to send you 1 year Bible for Women. My wife did all the commentary, and it is brilliant. We believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus died for our sins. And I got to tell you, If it wasn't for Jesus, I have no hope. This thing about being a good person, going to heaven, not me. Paul was the same way. He said, the very thing I want to do, I can't do it.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And just one more comment. This is more common than you could ever believe, having a person in the pulpit that doesn't believe Jesus died for your sins. The verse that I discovered that describes this so perfectly in our cancel culture world.
Right.
It's Mark 7:13. It says this: they cancel the word of God in order to hand down their own traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that is not a description of what
is happening.
Yeah. Let's just cancel this hell thing out. Mm-hmm. Let's just cancel this sin thing out. And I'm telling you, it's so easy and attractive to believe that there is no justice on the part of God, that he's just all easy stuff. But it isn't true. We talk about a lot loving God, trusting God. We have abandoned, in many ways, fearing God. There's not enough teaching on fearing God.
We're told
we need to fear God.
Yep, we are. We're told to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. You know, that isn't just a warm, fuzzy scripture. You know?
Yes.
It tells us to be very serious about it.
Yeah.
Good point, right, Steve. Thank you.
Let's go to Jeff, Houston, Texas. And Jeff is listening on Sirius XM satellite radio. That's 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. Hello. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show today. Just got a question that's recently come up. I'm actually starting sex addiction treatment with the CSAT tomorrow. I attended an EMB weekend this past month or so, and it was really life-changing for me. And in particular, I just have a question about abstinence, the benefit of abstinence, or is there a place for abstinence in between, you know, myself and my wife while I'm going through sex addiction therapy? Or is it harmful based on our How We Love imprints? I'm a recovering avoider. My wife is a recovering vacillator. So particularly with Mr. Yurkovich on the show today, I thought it might be something very helpful to call in.
Yeah, great to clarify this.
We have a need for connection, and so we just don't know if there's a need to, while we're healing, can we still, there's a benefit us to continue benefiting from our sexual union while we're undergoing betrayal recovery and sexual addiction recovery, or is there a place for a 60-90-day abstinence?
Jeff, what is your wife's opinion and her desire here?
She's also a strong connector, and she wants to do what's best for us, but she also she's told me that she wants to continue being in a sexual relationship with me. We're both in a good place right now. We just want to heal up completely.
Then, Jeff, I would give her the power, the decision-making power in this area, but be prepared for her to change her mind. And she should be assisted with a therapist in exploring her thoughts, her needs, her desires, and any the anger, the frustration, the hurt that also comes up for her both within and outside of the sexual context. But I think prayerfully for now, she should have that decision-making power in this area of your relationship.
Mylon, your thoughts, and then I have a couple.
Well, Jeff, thank you for calling me Mr. Yurkovich. I haven't heard that in a while, so I appreciate that. You can call me Mylon, by the way. You know, I agree with Alice 100%. Your wife needs to really be the one that helps to, you know, regulate the frequency and the timing of that. What's really important is to realize, since you identified her as a vacillator, that a lot of vacillators will use sex as a connection activity because it's very intense.
Right.
And the intensity to them is promotes a feeling of well-being and also a feeling of security and connectedness. So one has to ask, per Alice, to your point, Would somebody also be able to help her sort through what is her motivation that is prompting her to want to have a sexual connection with you? And I think that's really important to do. Number two, what is important for both of you is for, and especially your wife, is to have what we call congruency before we have sex. That is, that the inside matches the outside, that there is a warmth, there is a connectedness that is created through emotional closeness and non-sexual physical touch, and that I'm having sex not out of fear, but I'm having sex because my inside desires that. I'm not just doing it because it's an external activity that I think I'm supposed to do. I need to really also have congruous sexual time where whatever is happening in our relationship, sex is a natural outpouring of that, of goodness. So those would be two things I would add, Jeff. And then if you have a sexual addiction, that can mean your appetite can be really very high. So then the question comes up, well, what kind of frequency? People with sexual addictions have their mind is constantly on sex, and sexual activity can happen multiple times a day. So we really have to really ask the question, what's appropriate?
Yeah. All right, when we come back, give you a couple other thoughts on why in the world abstinence would be a good thing for a married couple to agree on. And that's the key here. You need to agree on it. It's not just one person withholding sex from another. We'll do that right after this. You need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, there's a counselor, there's a coach, life recovery group, a lot of different things that can take place when you decide, I want to get better. I want our relationship better. I'm not satisfied.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I just want to finish up with Jeff before I send him the one-year Bible for men. But this whole issue of agreeing to abstinence when a person first gets into treatment for sexual addiction, let me just tell you, there just overall, there's a tremendous value to agreeing to rebooting the whole relationship sexually and just, you know, have this time where there's nothing so that thoughts, feelings, emotions, and then once you both agree it's time, it's just a really wonderful experience, usually. Second thing is, when a person has a sexual addiction, you come to believe that it's a need, just like an alcoholic thinks, I need alcohol. Well, you don't need alcohol. You're not going to die without it unless you're so extremely addicted that withdrawal kills you. But sex isn't a need. It's a want. Nobody dies from a lack of sex, but it's a healthy desire, very healthy desire. Sex addicts often have a sexual experience out of a need to experience relief or release. It's all about the end result of release or some kind of relief. So not having sex for a while gives you the opportunity to abandon that concept and start thinking about and feeling the beauty of your spouse or the just the joy of the person, so that in 30 days it becomes a result of intimacy and love, not wanting to meet a need to be relieved or released. Big, huge difference. That makes sense, Alice? You're looking at me.
That's a great point, Steve. And I was going to say Jeff and his wife should come to our marriage intensive in February because that would help them begin the process of learning to communicate as the avoider vacillator, which he self-identified. And
right.
That's the number one couple to come into a therapy office, research says. Alice, Steve was asking for your opinion on his... what he just shared.
Well, although I still hold to that Jeff's wife should be the decision maker, should have the majority power in this decision, abstinence might help her identify her fear of what would happen if there isn't sexual intimacy, because it
is a
control factor in part. It might be, and it's worth looking into.
And it also could inspire her to find other ways of having that connection and security other than from a sexual realm. Okay. Speaking of security in the sexual realm, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. And Larry,
we just lost him, Steve.
I feel
okay.
He's gone.
Yeah. Steve, he's gone. All right, yeah. We just lost him.
I feel help in here.
I feel so secure.
Would
when
you like me to read that, Larry?
Yeah, no.
You can
anyway.
Do it.
Oh, we're able to help people in all sorts of ways, intimacy, sexually, because of the security that Larry provides in managing the finances of this organization. Larry, what do you have for us today here, just off the top
Thanks,
of your head?
Thanks, Steve. I just want to read an excerpt from a letter we just got today in the mail. And it's Thanksgiving time. We always are hoping and praying and expecting people who give the New Life give out of their thankful heart. And this is one of those, and I just want to share it and encourage folks who are considering giving, if you would do the same. Just real briefly, New Life is a different type of ministry when compared to others for whom we support. It does not feed, clothe, or house people, but in dealing with the relational and emotional problems you discuss every day, you help save individuals and relationships, which is a need as great as our more traditional ministries. The work you perform is so important. Thank you for the caring you provide for the sheep of Jesus' pasture. And he signed his name off. And
wow, that's beautiful.
It was his first gift he made today with that. And I just want to encourage others to maybe do similarly.
Well, piggybacking on that, Larry, if you only want to give to a ministry that is winning people to Christ, that's what we're all about here. We're evangelists wanting to win people to Christ. In fact, the thing I'm most proud of about Women of Faith is over 500,000 women came to Christ through that. We have it happen all the time at our workshops. Secondly, maybe you just want to give to starving children ministries. Give to us, because when we prevent a divorce, we're preventing about 70% of the women and children from that divorce going into poverty. I think that's what the statistic is. It's horrible. Divorce is horrible for the women and the children most of the time. So we're not just keeping marriages together. We're preventing all sorts of horrible things, and we're not just focusing on marriage. We're focused on the soul, and I hope you'll help us with that. Larry, anything else?
Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody who has been giving, who will give. Just appreciate it more than you know.
Well, if you want to help, it's 1-800 New Life, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. And sorry to embarrass you that way. Actually, I'm not, but I thought I should say that. All right, let's go to Alara from Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM. By the way, we've got another program after this, 1-800-229-3000. Alara, how are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Excellent. What's on your mind today?
First, I have to applaud you on how you cleaned up that segue. Good job.
Thank you.
Mad props on that.
I think I like Laura. That's funny.
So I have a situation here. You are speaking with a woman who is very tired at this point of her marriage. I have called him before and talked to you about emotional abuse in my marriage, and I was surprised to hear that I was perhaps really in an emotionally abusive situation. You confirmed that, and I actually did end up separating from my husband for 6 months. I came back, and I'm tired. I'm just not seeing change, and I'm tired of this vicious cycle. Things will seem like they're going well at some point, and for a while, and then we go back into this, you know, this anger and repentance cycle, where he lashes out, and you know, I withdraw. And he gets angry because I withdraw, and then embers, you know, kind of just die down, and then we go back into the same cycle again, where there's peace, war, truth, peace, war, truth.
And Laura, when you left for those 6 months, what kind of structured therapeutic work did your husband get into, and is he still in any now?
He did get into some counseling. However, when I discussed the counseling with him, he said that the counselor said that I was the one who was emotionally abusive to him. So I took it upon myself to try to contact that counselor. I wanted to know what am I doing? What, I mean, please explain this to me. I need to hear, what am I doing that is emotionally abusive to him? He is the one that I'm afraid of him. He is not afraid of me. And
did you find out the answer to your question?
No, I could never reach him. But this is something that my husband has held on to for, you know, since I've been back. Well, the counselor said, yes, I went to counseling as you told me to. And the counselor said, you were the one who was abusive to me.
And does he continue in counseling with that person or any other form of counseling?
No, he has not. He has not, and has been, you know, largely resistant to counseling, period. He just doesn't see the point, and I think he feels, you know, he feels ratified, he feels validated.
So, what is your question to us here, Laura? How can we help you with this?
How do I move forward? And what do next steps look like with someone who is not reasonable, mm-hmm. who does not want to change? I'm tired. I still love him, but I'm at my wit's end.
And do you notice that your separate
anniversary?
This is a particularly painful day to call about this.
Yes,
I want you to notice that your separation from him was partially effective, because it motivated him to seek counseling. But for whatever reason, probably some very good reasons, the separation may have ended prematurely, before the work in counseling could really start to take effect. So the signs of repentance and remorse and taking responsibility were not yet there, or at least weren't fully grounded. So as you say you still love him, I'd like you to consider over the break, what are your thoughts about separating again, but with perhaps more therapeutic structure to the separation and firmer, clearer requirements?
All right. We're going to do that right after this. 1-800-229-3000. So glad you're with us. Going to tell you about some things that could help change everything. Everything. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Alice, you had a couple of more things you wanted to say. Is that right or not?
Yes. Laura, you might present again to your husband, I do still love you, but we're stuck. And the separation, that work in therapy, it didn't get us far enough. And so I need to ask that you get in again with another therapist. And Aylor, we can help you find a therapist that we vetted, that we know holds to the New Life principles. You probably need to request and or require individual counseling, but also couples counseling. Mm-hmm. And you would let your husband know. You know, whether if you're willing to do this, I might be able to remain in our home. If you're unwilling to seek help, then I might need to separate again. But you hold so much of the power in what you decide to do for the sake of our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laura, when an individual walks into a therapist's office and they say, here's the problem I'm having at home and in my marriage, and here's what bothers me about my spouse, that's all the counselor hears. They're hearing the filtered representation of the spouse by the person that's in their office, and that's not accurate. It's just simply their view. And it doesn't mean it's an accurate right. view or a healthy view or the right view. That's why, you know, something with a couple emphasis would be very important. For instance, in Orange County, in February, we have the New Life Marriage Intensive. And a couple is together the whole time. And they're with a therapist and two or three or four other couples. And then we have lecture sessions, and that would be one of the things you could say. If a phrase you could use, Laura, is, I love you, but you're going to have to earn me back. You're going to have to win me back. I'm not going to be your rage dad anymore. And I guarantee you, Laura, and the problem with three meetings of counseling is the therapist did not get to his anger. His anger is historical. I guarantee it. Something in his history is driving this anger, and especially when you said you withdraw from him, he gets angry. So I guarantee you he has abandonment or hurt where people withdrew from him in the past before he ever met Laura. And so it's important to find a therapist that understands history and isn't just trying to provide short-term solution-focused therapy of do this or that.
And with withdrawal can feel very abusive in a subtle way.
Mm-hmm,
and so it doesn't equate mm-hmm. with verbal abuse or physical abuse, but I would challenge you to consider how you withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
There are vicious ways of withdrawing in a cold shoulder, in a silence, in a mm-hmm. body posture
mm-hmm.
that can communicate an intense disdain and even hatred. And then there's a very healthy withdrawal where we say, I need to leave. I need to step away in order to take care of myself and because I care about you.
I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. That's a good point.
All right.
I appreciate that distinction, Alice. That was mm-hmm. great.
Very, very good. All right. Let me send you a one-year Bible for women. And by the way, anybody else, you can get a one-year Bible for men or a one-year Bible for women. Increase Club New Life by $10 or join Club New Life. We want you to have one. Let me just mention quickly. Intimacy in Marriage is going to be February 17, Orange County. Emotional Freedom is online January 21st. Every Man's Battle, December the 2nd in Dallas. Lose It for Life, our one-year weight loss. It's online. A lot of people lose it forever for good, and that's on January the 28th, I believe. Yes, that's right. But if you hold on, I'll get to your call in the next hour, but right now I'm going to talk with Greg from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Greg. How are you today? Greg? You're there? Greg?
Hello. How are you?
Good. How can we help today? I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Yeah, I called in, and I didn't know how long you would be there, and I don't struggle with it. Back in 1980, a couple years out of high school, I was led to the Lord, and I went to a central assembly, and just something I wanted. I was just driven to have something different in me.
Yeah.
And salvation, I understand, is a free gift, and so I went up there, and I just had to have a lot of. I went up there and said the salvation prayer, and uh-huh. Then after that, I got baptized underwater, and I think what makes mine a little bit different than a lot of people, what I did was I didn't backslide. I left the church because I was trying to find something better.
Okay. What's the question for us that we can answer? Because I am literally out of time, buddy. I want to help you. What is it? Can you give me a question to answer?
My question was, you know, I received salvation, but I'm struggling with people are saying, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, you can be saved in this church and go somewhere else and not be saved. So, you know, and I was listening to a lot of people. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley this week on.
Okay, but I need to give you an answer. I need to give you an answer. Is your question, is it true that once you're saved, you're always saved? Is that the question?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mylon, you want to start this and what your thoughts are on
Well, the question I have to ask Greg, and I don't know if we have time to address it, is but why are you asking this question, Greg? Because something is happening between 1980 and 2022.
Right.
So
I just think sometimes.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You think sometimes what?
Okay, I just think sometimes the enemy is attacking me and just trying to throw me off course. And I talked to my pastor this morning about it. And you know, and I go to a Presbyterian church. I go to the early service, and then I just started going to another church. I just started.
Okay, so Greg, here's the deal. I think what's really important is you need to ask yourself, why do I have insecurity with God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible says when we receive Christ, we are given the gift of eternal life, and it's not retracted from us. A lot of churches believe salvation is tentative. You can have it if you're manifesting growth. If you don't, you can lose it. Some churches, that's their belief. I don't hold that. But you have an insecurity with God, and I'd like to suggest that you may have an insecurity with people. And our attachment history horizontally with our families and the insecurity I feel in relationships today, we project onto God many times, and we feel insecure with God because we feel insecure also with people.
Yeah. And let me just say this. There's precedence for never losing salvation. In the Old Testament, a person could disown a child from birth. A father could disown his son, except when he had adopted someone into his family. They were there forever. You could not disown an adopted child in Old Testament times. And I really believe that since Jesus died for your sins long before any sin was ever committed, he died for all those sins. Ones before you accepted Christ and ones after. And that's why I believe that once you accept his salvation, you're not going to lose it. You're just going to make yourself horrifically miserable and miss many blessings when we are, well, for all eternity, we'll be judged on the things that we do.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.